Blog Talk Radio.
In sports, the easiest thing to always have is a scribe to describe the business of sports for you. This show tonight is dedicated to two subscribers who we've lost in the last few days. The first, Lacey J. Banks, who was an award-winning and longtime article writer for the Chicago Sun-Times. He covered the Chicago Bulls for over 40 years. Lacey passed away this past Wednesday at the age of 68 after a long illness. And then this evening comes word of another death in the world of sports, of longtime boxing writer and historian Burke Sugar. Sugar, a 2005 Boxing Hall of Fame nominee or inductee, who also wore a trademark fedora and cigar, wrote over 80 books on the sport. Both scribes who long described the world of sports for many writers, both now gone. Tonight we dedicate this program to their memory. Sunday evening, everybody. Welcome to Upon Further Review. Busy day in sports. Busy week in sports. What can you say about that? I am LeVar, and as always, I am joined by my lovely co-host, the one and the only Katie. Are you with us?
What up? Of course. Sunday. It's time.
It's time. It's time to roll. Before I go into anything else today, I just want to make it known that this week actually is a very special week. Thursday marks a very special day. This person on Thursday actually celebrates her birthday. And she is known worldwide as The Body. And yes, I'm talking about Elle Macpherson.
That's my birthday.
Oh, wait. Yes, it is your birthday.
Rude.
Yes, it is your birthday on Thursday.
I'm also known as the body, so I guess it works out that way.
Yes, happy birthday. You share your birthday with Elle Macpherson. You also share it with actress Megan Hilty. You share it with Jennifer Capriati. You share it with a lot of people on that day.
And MC Hammer. Not that, you know.
Yes. MC Hammer. And the number one song on the day you were born was Billie Jean by Michael Jackson.
Oh, love that song. I was born to be that way.
We've got a little bit to cover. I want to go quickly into this day in sports quite a lot before we talk about this past few days. Tiger Woods back on top.
Another game.
Yes, Tiger winning five strokes today at the Arnold Palmer Invitational with Graham McDowell finishing second at 8-under, Ian Poulter finishing third. Ernie Els, who at one point was in contention there throughout the week, finished tied for fourth at a few shots back. Tiger on top. Now, you know, I actually have to say that whatever people were talking about this past week with Tiger, you know, that the magic was gone, it is now back, and once again, a couple weeks to go before the Masters, and you'd have to put him as a favorite, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Chris Kitty's so excited. It's not a big
I really love golf.
She's also not a NASCAR fan. It was a rain-shortened Sprint Cup Series at California. Tony Stewart taking that one. Kyle Busch finishing in second. Dale Earnhardt Jr. finishing in third. In NBA action, there's a couple of late games, actually, and shockingly, late in the fourth. Portland is leading Golden State by a bucket. Memphis and Lakers at the end of the first. Memphis up by four. Other winners today include Phoenix, who beat Cleveland. Minnesota over Denver, 117-100. In quadruple overtime, it was the Atlanta Hawks over Utah, 139-133. That's the first quadruple overtime game since 1997. Boston beat Washington, 88-76. San Antonio over Philadelphia, 93-76, and of course you'll love this one. It was Oklahoma City humbling the Miami Heat today, 103-87. How about that?
They can keep doing that all day long.
Pretty much. It's NHL action. There is one late game, St. Louis over Phoenix right now, 2-0 in the third period. Edmonton beat Columbus 6-3. Washington over Minnesota 3-0. And the Islanders 3-4-2. Pittsburgh over New Jersey 5-2. Nashville beating the Hawks all over the place today 6-1. Boston over Anaheim 3-2. And there's tennis action that is starting at the Sony Ericsson Open. Nadal, Murray, Tsonga, all those guys won over in a men's bracket, over in a women's bracket. Of course, Azarenka, Radwanska, Bartoli, and Ivanovic are the early leaders there. And I left it off for the same reason that I'm going to now talk about it with my co-host here. NCAA basketball today, there was two games, but there was two games yesterday. Louisville beat Florida 72-68 to advance to the Final Four. Ohio State over Syracuse 77-70. And, of course, today Kansas beating North Carolina. The luck finally kind of ran out for them, 80-67.
Oh.
And it was Kentucky beating Baylor 82-70. So now your Final Four is all set with Kentucky, Kansas, Louisville, and Ohio State. How's your bracket looking?
It's pretty much abysmal. I had Kentucky and UNC in the final, but I obviously had UNC winning it. So, quite frankly, I'm going to be like bottom of the barrel. I did have Baylor making it this far, you know.
I'm still alive here.
I know you are.
I'm happy.
Well, we got a couple people in our bracket that still have Kentucky. But I don't really care at this point. Does that sound bad?
You care. You do care.
I do
care.
Care
about that, right?
But I did care almost to the point of saying, I don't want to play next year. And then you talked me out of it, of course.
Yes. Well, the big story this past week is one that we talked about here a couple of weeks ago. And it was the NFL bounty controversy. And when the smoke cleared, it was head coach Sean Payton getting, pretty much suspended for a year, which is huge for the New Orleans Saints. Greg Williams, of course, who was the one-time defensive coordinator and now with the Rams, is suspended indefinitely. That's never a good word.
Indefinitely.
That's never a good word.
So I love that word, yeah.
Yeah, the Saints general manager.
Well, I can't say the word fired because of that whole union business, but.
Yeah, you know, it's a shaky thing. And also another assistant coach getting six games, the general manager, like half the season, the Saints getting fined, you know, half of $1 million here and losing draft picks. After all this cleared, were suspensions fair and just?
Well, if people want to turn back time and listen to the way I ranted and raved last time we talked about these, I know that he was going to make an example out of these people, but to be quite frank about it, I think when there isn't something set in stone about how to handle the situation in the past, and he thumbed his nose at him the last time and said, I just don't want to catch you doing it again, and then they did it again, and now here he is throwing everybody out. I don't know. I think it's a little ridiculous, but it's not going to stop it from happening again. It's just making a lot of people mad. Yeah.
It's not going to stop people from doing it again, but I think it's going to make them take notice because you've got to fear anybody in the locker room that could go off and down your team quite like you had a few of the, and I hate to use the word snitches, but a few of the snitches that they had within that locker room. But I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to probably be in mid to major majority when I'm saying it's fair. I'm only telling you it's fair because if the NFL tells you, hey, don't do this, and you thumb your nose at them, and you go ahead and you continue doing it, then you're going to have to be guilty for suffering the repercussions
your actions.
Of your actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the word fair is the operative word here. I don't know if it's fair. There's no comparative situation to consider it fair against. Yes, something was going to happen. Yes, something needed to happen. These people make millions of dollars. It's not going to stop it from happening again. It's not going to stop people from doing steroids again. It's not going to stop women or men from being their wives. It's just not going to stop it. It's just how high is the consequence and do they feel like paying for it?
Well, now I got a couple other questions for you. Because of something like this in which, you know, there were a lot of tough hits and people are going now back looking at past Saints games, do you think that this will deter players from playing the way that they do now?
No.
So it's kind of like the thing, you know, about the hits on quarterbacks. You know, some people kind of like softened up and they don't hit them as hard as they hit. You think that this yet nothing? It's not gonna. You know, people aren't gonna second guess now, especially with the Saints. I think it's gonna affect the way some Saints players do because I think the first few games of the season, I think people are gonna be looking at them. You know, and I think
everybody's gonna be under the microscope. But I don't think, just like I think the way Roger Goodell's trying to protect these players of how they get hurt and change the game up a little bit for safety, I just don't think that they should let it affect the way they play football because this is their job. If they don't play hard and they don't play tough and they don't play to win and they just, you know, fluffy bunny tailing it around on the football field, tapping people so they sort of fall down, no, I don't think that should have anything to do with it. But I don't play football.
You're into that. So you're an NFL fan. What's your prediction on what will happen to the Saints from here on out?
Well, this season's going to be a crapshoot for them, just to be 100% truthful. But if Sean Payton comes back and all the coaching staff is still there and everybody still signs their contracts and continue to play, I don't think it should change anything. I think it's going to make people look bad if they keep criticizing and judging and thinking that one thing is happening and, you know, being paranoid. I don't think that it should change anything.
Right.
This is tackle football. People get hurt.
Tackle football. I haven't heard that description in a long time. Keep an eye out on what happens with the Saints this season. It's going to be interesting. I think this will be a crapshoot year for them. I don't know. You know, somebody the other day on ESPN said that they basically got SMU'd, which you never really hear about a team going back. And if you don't know what SMU would mean, you really haven't followed the history of football
since 1980.
Just Google it. just Google it. It does hurt them a little bit here going out, but I don't know if it's going to hurt them as much as people think it will. I think they'll still be a close to playoff team that you will take a look at, and they'll probably be like your good 8-8, 9-7 type of team. They won't be like the old New Orleans Saints where they barely struggle to get 4 or 5 wins. But also, this week, the long national nightmare that was trying to figure out where Peyton Manning went ended when he signed with the Denver Broncos. And we talked about this. We gave our predictions on where he would go and how, you know, it would be a good fit. So now it is official, and now he has signed. Is Denver a good fit for him? And will he be able to take this team far into the playoffs if he's able to take them to the playoffs?
Right. This is still a shoulda, coulda, woulda, canny, coulda. The season hasn't even started. He hasn't even put a helmet on and played tackle football in how long?
It'd be about a year.
I still think it's a good fit. I still think him and Elway have a lot of comparative qualities that they both really like about one another. They got a good line. They talked to that tackle that's on his blind side on ESPN on the over the phone. I think that he's got a lot of weight on his shoulders. But until football season starts, I don't know. I think it's unfortunate for little old Tebow when they said they weren't looking to dish him, they weren't looking to trade him, you know. But everything is still words right now. Until football happens, I don't know.
Well, I guess now that's going to lead to my next question here. I'm going to give you the choice. Would you rather talk Tim Tebow and the Jets, or would you rather talk Matt Forte and the Bears?
I would rather talk Matt Forte and the Bears, but you already knew that answer.
I did, but I just wanted to
ask about sick and tired of little old Tebow. He's going to suck wherever he goes, so let him go.
Well, this gets a little bit more interesting because with Tebow and the Jets, they've now traded quarterback Drew Stanton, who they just signed.
But I don't even know who that is. And I know about football. I don't know who that guy is.
Well, let's recap. Well, before we get to Matt Forte, we're going to talk to Matt Forte, but for those of you who don't know, this is kind of like a soap opera. Mark Sanchez, who is the quarterback, he gets a backup in Drew Stanton, who the Jets just signed a few weeks ago. Then they complete this trade for Tebow. And then at which point they tell Drew Stanton, well, guess who's the odd man out? You are. So they go ahead and trade Drew Stanton the other day. So now he's gone and Tim Tebow is in, but the question is what's the real backstory here? Did they get Tebow to replace Mark Sanchez or run specific plays like everyone's saying? But
to be quite honest, both Tebow and Mark Sanchez finished in the bottom barrel of quarterbacks last year, so I think it's situational. I think that Sanchez better not get his little panties in a bind and get upset about them signing Tebow, because they could both be very, very good for that team. I think they're going to bring Tebow in for situational runs, short yard gains for fourth downs. I think that, you know, he's not going to really be the starter. Tebow isn't. They've franchised. They've got him on the team. He did well for them the first two seasons. He kind of hangs his head in his little crybaby when things don't go his way. But he's from USC, so what do I expect? California boys. Where?
I'm going to agree with my man who knows a little about the Jets, Herm Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
This week he said something that stuck with me. He says, when you try and use two quarterbacks in a system, two quarterbacks never work. Never. He said he's never seen a system in which you use a quarterback for this set amount of plays and another one for this set amount of plays, because what's going to happen is before long, if one quarterback shines over the other, and if this happens with Tim Tebow, he guarantees by week four or week six, if the Jets start out slow, the crowd will be calling for Tebow just like it happened in Denver, and history could repeat itself. So
yep.
I kind of am going with him. I never liked the whole thing of using two quarterbacks, one or none at all. Don't use Mark Sanchez for two downs and then bring in Tebow on third down or on fourth down, because it will not help you.
Herm knows, but I'll go with what my friend said. He's a big Jets fan. Quite frankly, it worked for Florida. I'm not saying it's pro football, but it worked out pretty good for them.
I guess, but I don't.
Yeah, well, you guess. You saw it. You have eyes. It happened. They went all the way. You know, I'm not thinking that these two quarterbacks, two half quarterbacks, are going to make one great quarterback. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Jets are still not going to make it past if they get to the AFC Championship game.
Mark my words. One of these gentlemen will not be playing after week six. Somebody's going to be starting, and I don't think it's going to be Mark Sanchez, especially if he's coming.
I am feeling the power as well. I don't care for either one of them.
But that would move.
But if they don't go 2-2, I don't think he's playing anymore.
But you like how I did that? I asked you what you wanted to hear, but we wound up talking about the other one anyway. But now we're going to move on.
Well, you do it all the time. You men. Now, let's get to the real story here. Let's talk about Matt Forte now.
Yes. Good story, then. So, this week, Chicago Bears signed Michael Bush. And Michael Bush, we all know what he can do. We've seen him in Oakland, and we know what his abilities are. But hold on and wait a second there. Matt Forte took to Twitter to express his disappointment. Pretty much, he came out, you know, I can't say what he said verbatim, but pretty much I'll tell you that he wasn't happy. And it doesn't help that the Bears slapped the franchise tag on him. So now I'm going to ask you, is his disappointment warranted, and do you think that he's going to hold out this spring?
Yes. Well, no and yes.
No,
I don't think he should be so upset about it, but he is, and yeah, he's going to hold out. He did the last time, and then they stuck him with that stupid franchise tag, and that's what pissed him off even more. But he needs somebody to help him. He is the feature back. He's going to be number one on most of the running plays. But he's going to need somebody to be banged around because he just had knee surgery.
He really did well
for the team, and he pushed them so far, and then he got hurt, and then Cutler got hurt, and then it was the end of the season. But he needs somebody there to help him. And quite frankly, Marion Barber, who can't follow the rules, fall down, keep the ball in bounds, and not fumble. They don't want him anymore. They need somebody to help. And now that they got Bush, he's going to, and maybe Bush does well this year. And the Bears say, screw Matt Forte. We'll use you as trade bait. Does he want to go to a different team, or does he want to play for the Bears?
I'm thinking, if I'm Matt Forte, and you've done everything that's been expected of you, I'd be a little miffed too. But he's got to know that this is a business, and that the Bears have a history, besides probably back in the day of even then I think they screwed over Walter Payton and not paid him enough, but they have a history of this when it comes to good players, with the exception of Urlacher and maybe a couple other people. And they don't really know, and they get nervous whenever a running back, you know, does well, because then they know they're going to have to pay out the nose for him. And they did it with Anthony Thomas, and he went on and had, you know, a better career when he left here, even though, you know, there's a couple of examples. But it's warranted, I think, his disappointment. And I have a very, very bad feeling that if this really kind of, like, if he keeps watching the sports shows, I think he's going to, like, steam even more, and I would not be surprised to see him hold out in the spring.
Yep.
I think it's going that way.
Agreed.
I'm just saying.
Well, he would be have gone out to the social media to cry about it and then not go out and further and stand up for himself and hold out. I think if he thinks he's that worth it, he's going to do it, hands down.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole Twitter thing, yeah, that's stuff that he could have kept himself. But, yeah, his disappointment's warranted, because if you did everything that you were supposed to do at your job and you really did get paid what you wanted, what you thought that you were worth, yeah. And you know you're better than at least three or four of the top running backs, per se. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I'm going to ask you this week, is there anything that is particularly there in regards to Katie's corner?
Well, I really wanted to discuss how wonderful it is to have you now in my fantasy baseball league. And how fun it was to live draft this morning. Maybe people aren't as excited as I am. I know opening day is coming up in a week. But we'll just take this time to talk about picks. Who was your number one overall pick today, Lilar?
Mine was actually, you know, and I don't have the list in front of me again, but it was actually, I think it was Curtis Granderson from
Granderson.
Yankees, correct? Yeah.
And Katie's number one pick was Justin Verlander. She went first round, number two pick overall, Cy Young MVP of the American League, Justin Verlander. I think some Ks and some whip and some wins are pretty important to my baseball point scoring. So I went a little off the cuff. But I was excited about it. Not to mention we can talk in Katie's corner about how it's Katie's birthday coming up here.
Yep. But you know what, Before you get to your birthday, and I'm going to stop you here, and a rare thing of stopping you for Katie's Corner, I'm highly shocked that you did not mention something this week. And I know it hurt you when you heard it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, let's time it out here. Everybody, can I have a moment of silence for my favorite player of all time, Mr. Larry Wayne Jones Jr., announcing at the end of this season for the Atlanta Braves, he will be retiring from all baseball. I sobbed a little bit. I had my moment of tears. My dad told me I was weird, and I'm okay with that. But Chipper's retiring. 19 seasons. This is his 19th. He turns 40 April 4th. Not that I know that, but I do. Weird, I know. And he's retiring this season, and I was really happy after I thought about it that he announced it before the season started and didn't say effective immediately, because I would have cried. So at least now I have time to, like, catch a game somewhere along the road down here in California. Watch him play, maybe. If he doesn't play, then just scream a lot to get him to sign something. But there goes my world. I saw him sit next to Bobby and Scherholz, and that was a little press conference, and tears.
Yeah.
I love him. Chipper, if you hear me, you'll be missed. over 450 home runs, 305 batting average for your entire career, over 45,000 hits. I mean, he is the first ballot Hall of Famer in my book, but I don't get to vote.
Well, I'm actually going to agree with you on that one. I think when you look at it, and by the time he leaves, I think that those numbers, even though he's injured, he won't be immediately playing. I think that those numbers will be a little bit higher by the time he leaves. But I think that, you know, when you look at his pretty much when you look at the errors, not errors in terms of errors, but eras, when you look at the era that he's played in, he has been one of the most dominating players within that 90s to, you know, the 2000s. And, of course, what was that? He was an MVP, numerous All-Star games. And when you look at the numbers in his
All-Star
position.
And, 1999, MVP.
Yeah, and as, when you look at it from the point of view that he was a phenomenal switch hitter, I think all of that pretty much is going to be his ticket towards Cooperstown. So, congratulations,
yeah.
Chipper.
One thing I am going to call
my co-host out on is that she did not choose him in her fantasy league, though.
That is ridiculous. You know he's going to play 60 games this season. He's going on the DL immediately. I did name my team after him, so take it easy. This one's for Chipper. In my heart, forever.
So, you know, this is actually the first draft, and I'm going to actually have you grade my draft since you, and I've done it one other year, which was a few years ago. Not really a big fantasy league baseball person. I haven't found a league. Based off of my team that you saw today, what grade would you give it?
I think that you're a smart man and you drafted pretty intelligently. We just have different looks on how you would pick your pitchers and things like that. I think that pitching is pretty important. I think Ks and WHIP are more important than wins and losses. We picked smartly. I think that your draft is pretty much, I would give you a B. I just think that we're going to do some shifting and the season's going to start and we're going to think about trades and we're going to think about other things. But I think you came into it being a little dusty. But you're smart and intelligent when it comes to sports. I don't think you're going to have much of a difficult time with this league.
Now I'm kind of curious. What grade are you giving yourself?
I like my team. I never like what it always is when it comes down to it. I think I'm probably lower than you. I think that maybe I'm right around like maybe a B minus.
Okay.
I like my team.
I was wondering where to.
I'm just afraid that.
I'm always scared for my pitching. I thought you were going to give yourself an A or something, and then I was.
No, nobody has an A in drafting. Come on.
I was going to say next Sunday we were going to have to compare teams, but we got 90 seconds to go. But I do want to seriously, seriously wish you a very happy birthday this Thursday. Glad that you're here. Glad that you're here to share Sunday nights with me, and definitely I hope that you enjoy the day. I have a feeling that we'll be celebrating it again next Sunday because, of course, you know, birthdays stretch.
Yeah, I celebrate as long as I feel like it.
Who knows? Maybe next Sunday we'll have you start, you know, enjoying yourself probably like an hour or two before then, and then we'll do the show live. So, you know, when we do the show live. So, we got 60 seconds left. Any shout outs this week?
No real shout outs. I mean, I want to take a minute to gripe about me having to work until 9 o'clock on my birthday because my coworkers are shiesty. But I'm glad to have a job and they're nice people. But come on, 9 o'clock on my birthday? What a crapshoot. What about you, LeVar?
Right,
what's happening in your world?
Nothing. Nothing.
We're cool for each other. I'll shout LeVar out. I hope LeVar. He's so cool.
Shout me out. And of course, you can catch us both on Twitter. You can catch me over at NewsCommentBTR. You can catch Katie over at Katie Hahn. So, yes. And we're back.
Follow us.
Guess
we're
what?
Cool. Say fun things.
Yeah. With that, clock and wall, so we're out of time. So,
woo!
as usual, we'll see you here next Sunday night with Upon Further Review. Have a great week, everybody.
Adios.